Hello, folks. A couple more minutes, we'll get started. All right, we're going to get going. I've noticed in my meetings this week that we're a little bit low. I think we're in the last throes of people trying to get in vacations in the Northern Hemisphere. So I think we might be down a little bit, and that's okay. Welcome to the Hyperledger Areas Working Group call, the B call. This was the week of the A call, and that happened this morning. And that was recorded. This will be recorded. Please mind the Hyperledger Code of Conduct and the antitrust policy that we can be excellent to each other and get good stuff done without encumbering it with legal issues. So grateful for y'all being here. You're welcome to add yourself to the attendees if you'd like. Did not yet add this to the chat, so I will do that. Is there anyone here who hasn't been here before that would like to introduce themselves?
Hi, yeah, this is Phil Fairheller. I'm from SCORE. First time joining.
Phil, welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you very much.
All right. In terms of announcements, the big one coming up at us pretty darn soon is the Interopathon. Stephen, you want a minute for that one?
Sure, thanks. Can I share screen for a moment?
You can.
Thank you. Just wanted to highlight so preparations are getting finalized for this. So as mentioned on the page and on the site, the goal is being able to have construct a proof based on credentials from multiple networks, multiple indie networks, construct a proof and have that verified with as automated a way as possible, so that basically we take into account the location, the network location of the objects involved in the proof and in the verification, So that we can, so we can have issuers issuing from different networks, and from the point of view of the prover and verifier, it's all good. We have a primary track, which is largely focused on what we expect will be the path, the set of decisions that have to be made. So the primary track goes over the 2 days of the conference. A secondary track is covering related issues, but that are not directly needed for the decisions needed to be made, so that we can get the work done to make this possible. The secondary track, we're using KikoChat, which is the same platform that IIW use. So if you were there, you know what I'm talking about. We can have as many Zoom rooms as we want. So the secondary track can have multiple, and we can even do a sort of unconference on the fly if people want to talk about something. Also got a couple of ways. I'm trying a tool that they've got there for enabling one-on-one conversations and things really easily. So that's kind of cool. We have mostly covered the facilitators, presenters for the session. Some of them will need more preparations. Others will be more on discussion. So we've got people covering most of these. This is the major one still open if anyone wants to grab that. This one you might need to think about, okay, in case, so the idea is we have a few sessions in here that aren't defined, so that we can get a gauge on where we are. Are we ahead of plan? Are we, have we already got the decisions we need, or do we need more time to more time for discussions so that we can get to those? So that's what these flex sessions are here for. And so this one in particular is either we're on track and we're all good, and you know, we can see the home stretch, and therefore we can start to talk about other ledgers other than Indy. Or this will be spent continuing on with discussions necessary for this one. So again, someone who knows the area needs to jump in on that one. As I say, welcome to suggest other topics for the secondary track. And one of the things we'd like is other ledgers hearing more about both the technical, the governance, and the progress of other ledgers, things like what was previously known as LISI, now ID Union Ledger. I think that's how they pronounce it. I don't know though. And Indicio Network, those two are people have stepped up to do those. I'm gonna reach out to the Findy folks to see if they'll have a session and talk about their network and their plans. Same with Bedrock from IBM. So that's the plans. Any comments, thoughts? Things that are missing, ideas?
We did get some feedback in the Indicio conversations that 30 minutes might be a long time for a particular ledger. Some of those things might be able to be combined together.
Sure. Yeah. I got to that number when talking to Adrian. They thought they would do a demo and show where they are, but he only focused on the technical and said it would be, you know, including questions, 10 minutes, but I wanted to them also to cover governance. You know, who do you expect to be on your network? What issuers and things like that? So that's the other side of it. But you know, if it doesn't take 30 minutes, we can definitely put another one in there and combine that.
Okay. I still think, just because of the similarities between various networks, I still think that even with governance, it's probably not 30 minutes, but yeah. Absolutely. I think that hearing from different approaches, I think, will be excellent in this context.
Yeah. I mean, I did debate putting them all in one session, and then I realized that I hadn't heard back from the other one, so I didn't want to commit the time, but maybe that's the way to do that, and we can figure that out. Just have 15 minutes for each in a one-hour session.
Yep. Something like that, I think.
All right. Anything else from anyone? And please do sign up, because I'm going to send out invites. I'm continuously updating the invite list, so you don't have to do it on any particular time. But the KikoChat invite will go out to individual registrants. So it will be not so easy to suddenly show up and get in. I'm sure we can make it happen because we want to be flexible and let everyone who needs to join in. But of course, we've got to put some restrictions around it. So thank you.
Thank you, Stephen, for doing such a fantastic job organizing that and making that happen. That's going to be really good.
We'll see.
Well, I expect it will, but yes. Okay, let's all make it good. So related meetings review, I will volunteer for the DIDCOM working group. We're continuing our topics there, but we've given ourselves a deadline of about 4 weeks to get the every issue that we want mentioned in the spec, either represented by the text that does so or by a to-do in the spec within the next several weeks so that we can put together a better timeline towards, you know, getting to a sort of a draft of that release or a draft of that spec. So that is that's the scoop on the DIDCOM working group. Other meetings we want to review.
Yeah, real quick, the Identity Implementers Working Group call is tomorrow. And so for those that are unaware, that's where we try to go over a number of the proceedings from a variety of working groups so we can get a good cross-section of what's happening in the space. And tomorrow we're privileged to have a really cool presenter come talk to us about DIDCOM. So Sam Curran will be there to give us an overview of DIDCOM, and I'm looking forward to that as well. Thank you.
All right, we did cover work updates in this morning's call. Is there anyone that would like to call out updates on their particular project because they either weren't there or it's something important enough to bring up anyway? All right.
Sorry, Sam. I just last minute realized we're now at 99% coverage on ACAPI. Thanks very much to the developers and in particular Stephen Klump.
That's pretty fantastic. That's pretty excellent coverage.
Cool. So based on our coverage reports coming out of the tools, that's where we are on unit tests.
Well, and code coverage isn't everything, but it's a pretty darn good metric for how much is actually in there.
Not bad.
Very cool. Okay, we have a relatively small agenda today. And so if you have been anxiously waiting for a time to bring a topic up or present something in a meeting at a moment's notice, today might be your day, but we'll see how it goes. On the agenda, we have the closing game. Several of these we just need to revisit quickly and then probably close. I wanted to do a quick check-in on the protocol type coordination update. And to see where we are. And then the goal code, I have an RFC in for the first goal code that we're officially proposing. And some commentary about that and love some feedback on. So that's what we have on the agenda. Any other topics that we want to adjust or any adjustments to the agenda before we get going? If we have a little extra time, and I suspect we will, you'll also have a shout at the end if you'd like. All right, let's get into it. We have, last week we discussed this particular one is the goal code RFC, and there wasn't any work on it, and I don't remember if there was we were just going to approve this or if there was something that we were waiting for before we resolve this. Does anyone remember? It's been a while since the last commentary. Okay, this is we'll see if this actually works. This is a Oh, someone's requested changes. That's what it is. Steven, you've requested changes. Are you happy with those, or are you still requesting changes?
Sorry about that. I think it is the question of, are we changing to purpose codes? And if we're changing to purpose codes, are we changing out of band, which I'm not excited about. So
that came up last week,
and without settled on this,
I don't remember either.
Last week I actually noticed that when you were talking about it last week, you always talked about goal codes.
That's not a decision. That's just my brain doing old habity things.
But I was happy with it because, but you know, that's where I think the only issue was, as I recall, was just that question of should it be goal codes or should it be purpose codes?
Goal code figures feels like we're identifying the target. Purpose code feels like we're identifying the direction. Purpose is I'm going to go that way. Goal code is I'm going to get to that place.
Yeah.
And I like the sort of finality of a goal code better, in that it's a little bit more precise, I think. The other thing to do is to just approve this and bring it up as an issue, right?
Yeah, I'm going to approve it. I just checked through my other notes and I'm good with approving it.
Oh, sorry. This is 519. Oh, my bad. Never mind.
If you're going to object to something else, hold it. I'm sure we'll have some time in a second.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to merge this.
Okay.
And we can call that one done. I hate to have things sitting there that, particularly given we sort of wavered on the exact process of doing this, but particularly when there hasn't been active commentary on this and no large objections as yet, then I'm inclined to move these along. So, okay. So the next one is the community update for the out of band. And this one, if I remember right, we talked about it last week, and this was the, is this good enough? Should we just go? These are commits from the last couple of days. Steven, do you want to highlight the changes that you made as a result of that?
Shoot.
I should be showing just the changes you made.
Yeah, if you could.
So that's right here. So the red is the instead of is removed, and then the equivalent to there's just been a so full out of band. It clarifies the not required on the full out of band.
Yeah. So all it was just some simple clarifications that people had raised as a point. I think it was when we were talking about a different one, and somebody raised a point that wasn't altogether clear. The cleanup of this. To get the protocols done. These weren't synced up, so that one's out of the way, and that's it, I think. So, yeah. I mean, I think we're ready for it, and I'd really like to see us get going. I mean, we've done it in Akapai, and we're moving on to other things with it, with out of band, basically adding full support. So we're getting there.
Yeah, I remember... I think the holdup was on me, I think. And I admit I had not reviewed it again until like a couple of minutes ago. I'm unsure about all the moving pieces we have on hand right now. I mean, with spec wise, with all the stuff that's been moving around in data exchange and out of band, and the fact that we have a pending discussion/updates with regards to how we represent the keys in the specs. So that's one action item that workmate and I, Baja and I, have pending, which is that discussion about separating encryption keys from verification keys, which is going to be impacting all of this, as far as I'm aware. I think I see a huge, a really big door here, which is the first bullet point in the plan, which is pre-work. Says like any RFC updates related to this transition needed before starting the transition are completed. So what I understand is that in the pre-work step, we're gonna finalize any RFCs and then move on.
Interesting. To
Did I get that right?
Yeah.
So does that like what's the scope of this?
That's a good point. In my thought was it was essentially just did exchange. I mean, it could be, I think we can use this with presentation request as we have it today. I suspect we can use it with issue as we have it today. In other words, the 36 and 37 versions, as well as the V2 versions of those two. I think those are all settled. I can't think of any others that we particularly need to address, but that's a really good question.
Has it?
And out of band, we need that one settled. And I think we have.
This is a difficult process. I think this is the same thing that motivated the Ares interop profile, Stephen, is that when we have things that are constantly moving forward and some of those things are semi outside of our control, it's hard to decide like, okay, we should just do this right now anyway. In my head is in that space a lot, you know, as we form DIDCOM version 2, it doesn't mean that we don't still need to solve real life problems in version 1 today. It's a little bit difficult to make that mark. So the motivation for doing this is that we can move forward to the next important step. And in this particular step, going to out of band invitations, helps substantially with the amount of flexibility we have in consuming these, QR codes with invitations in them, right? There's so much variance, that they allow that I think that the types of transitions will need in the future will be more limited. So I'm in favor of doing this. I think that this particular step forward is a really valuable one and will help us continue to maintain interoperability as we're scanning QR codes and moving there. Now, it isn't as far, George, as I think you would like, but it's definitely a step in the right direction that will help us get to the point where we can be, you've sort of chosen the future development path that's ahead of where the rest of us are, which is good. And we'll get there. We'll catch up in those terms. So that's a squishy answer to your question, but I do believe it's valuable to do this even with some of the pending things not fully resolved, like key type representation, et cetera. Because of what it, marches forward, how it helps us march forward.
And I need to go back and take a real good look at how Did Exchange is today. How do you guys feel about it?
I just did a pretty thorough pass over it, and I was pretty happy at the end of it. I mentioned that in the PR, there is a bunch of things I changed because I felt it didn't have everything it needed to at the time, but now that it's there, now that that pass is done, I was pleased with it, but then again, I did it. Definitely, exactly what you're saying, you should take another look at it and make sure everything's aligned. The big thing I did with it was the states, and making sure those got updated. But as I say, I'm pretty happy with it. I think it's complete.
So what should we do here? Yeah, because like you noted in that PR, Stephen, it's like, should I care? I don't know.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem to affect you right now, but it doesn't mean that you can't have concerns about the process, generally speaking.
Yeah.
And also, and it's not just that. I'd also would like to say that we are interoperable.
I mean, that's the big thing. And we got to get, in theory, we got to get to step three to be able to do that.
Well, and the rest of us have a fair ways to go. Yeah.
The sooner we get to those ones, the faster we get there.
So in my mind, this helps us get, this is a step towards being interoperable with you guys. I mean, it's not entirely that, but it's effectively that if you squint at it in that angle, right?
Yeah. And then I know this is an RFC for transitioning to out of band specifically. That's its scope, right? But
well, it's out of band invitations specifically.
Yeah. But then all the examples showing like deprecated versions of other protocols like present proof and issue credentials sort of spooked me a little bit as well. Tell you what, can you guys give me till the end of today and I'll take another pass and leave some feedback there?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. The next one that I wanted to bring up was the co-protocols that Daniel has written. This has had, it's been a little since he's proposed this, and there hasn't been any commentary on it at all. And so the question was, the status of this is still very provisional, right? We're not accepting anything. This is still proposed. And so is there any reason why we shouldn't accept this and just have it land, as a proper file in the RFC repo?
Yeah, I would just like to say that this particular topic is kind of, it's kind of bleeding edge. There's not really any, there's not anybody begging for this feature to be documented, but I wanted to kind of codify the ideas and capture them so they're out in the open. So I'm not planning to move it beyond proposed state anytime soon. I just wanted to have it documented.
Right. And I think that's acceptable. That's one of the things we allow, right, as part of RFCs, is early ideas, and that's okay. The intended process friction is around a status change, which is not being proposed here. Any objections to merging this? Stephen, will you go approve it real quick, and then I'll merge?
Yep.
Thanks, everybody. These are a handful that have been like pending for a while, and moving these along, I think, is really helpful. Okay. Progress being made. I like this. Excellent. Okay. Now is a quick check in on the protocol type coordinated update. Tomislav, I'm glad you're here. I was hoping you would be for this particular conversation. You had talked previously about understanding kind of this particular move and where you were. Do you have any indication at this point on where that is in the development timeline? And no is an acceptable answer.
So we did a PR to update this to the new protocols, using HTTPS, and that's done. So
you'll accept both now?
Yes.
Excellent.
At this point, we should be able to move to the next phase.
Yeah, I'll put in a PR today.
Okay.
To do that.
Excellent. This makes me happy. And then the next phase, by the way, is that in addition to accepting both old and new, we would default to sending out the new during this phase.
Yeah.
So the code that we've written that accepts both the old and the new doesn't really change. We just go through, sweep our code, and publish the new ones instead of the old ones. And that should remain compatible as long as we've done step one appropriately.
Yeah.
And then as soon as we sort of get to the broad adoption there, then we can go ahead and remove the dual handling code. Excellent. Okay, good. So Steve's got a PR.
Yep.
What is that called? A status change? Change?
It's a status change.
I'm going to put a smiley face on that one. Oh, look, I even got a picture. I've got an emoji. Okay. So, all right. So the next thing that I've got is I'd love some feedback and review on the first RFC with a goal code in it, and get some feedback. I have a little bit of commentary on this, and I'm like desperate for feedback and opinions here. So I very much care what you think. Given that this is a first one, like there's not like a well-trod path here. And so that's super helpful to talk about. So since I've totally lost my tabs, they're all a mess. Previously, we actually had this conversation here that is a HackMD doc. And I kind of outlined more or less what I put into the to the actual goal code, or at least I gave a lot of background to it, et cetera. There's one is important things that I've deviated from. I had proposed the goal code Aries self-identify. And I have, in what I've actually submitted here, I've used something different. Partially because of our conversation, as I remember from last week. This is the deal. So this is not a long doc. Here's the summary of what the goal code is. Like, is it not human friendly? Did Com give us a secure connection, but this provides a verifiable human readable identifier from one party to another. And this is for the same goal that we've been talking about, where we can verify things in a way that when we ask user to accept a connection or accept the request to present a credential present a proof that they have some sort of verified information on the screen in front of them to use to make that change. That's a good user experience, and it helps solve a number of problems, including man-in-the-middle mitigation, which is important. So I changed the name here because I wanted to clarify that what we're really passing was an identifier, but it was a human readable one. And readable may not be precisely the right word. Human recognizable may be better, in the sense that really, like if we pass a phone number, right, it's an identifier, but it's one that we as humans are used to dealing with. The same goes for an email address or a domain or a social media handle, right? Those are all things that that we as humans are sort of used to dealing with in the tech space. And so having something like that is kind of the goal here. So I also, by the way, took this and I kind of created a little form here. We don't really have a template for goal codes. And so I sort of made one by including the appropriate things. So I have the goal code here, and then an explanation of this. And this calls out the roles a little bit here, right? The party presenting this goal code has a goal of receiving a human readable verifiable identifier from the party it presents it to. So if I were to pass this to Steven, I would like Steven to give me an identifier, according to a governance framework that satisfies, that satisfies the requirements of this. And then I outline the concepts here. Human readable implies that this is meaningful to a human. The verifiable aspect is that there's some level of assurance provided that control has been proven, and that lies within the governance frameworks to define. And then the role of governance frameworks in doing this. I'm not sure how much of this is redundant or not verbose enough. And then we have normally an implementations thing, which I actually left down here because it's kind of cool to know which software understands a particular goal code, maybe. But I also wanted a governance frameworks thing to be listed separately here because that's not really an implementation so much as it's a reference or it's a related thing. That it would be nice to know the linkage of. And so these are obviously to-do items. We don't have these yet. My goal was to have them written by today, but that didn't happen yet. And so these are the two that we've talked about, the well-known DID domain control and email ownership. And so those are the two that we need to write so that we can figure out how they interact. I said a bunch of words. Any comments? I have open questions around whether I picked the right goal code or not, but I'm want to hear comments from folks.
Yeah. Can I be reminded on if we had any agreement and what it was around, how can I express this? Like the directionality of the goal code, like whose goal is this? Is it the sender of the messages? Goal?
Yes. And okay. I tried to choose the goal code to indicate that. I, Sam, have a goal of receiving a verifiable identifier from the person that I'm sending the goal code to. And I put this in the explanation as well. The party presenting this goal code has a goal of receiving a human readable, you know, an HRVI from the party it presents it to. So that was a really good conversation that we had and motivated in part the name change. It's not the self-identify. It doesn't indicate whether it's I'm trying to self-identify to you or whether I want you to self-identify to me.
I really like this, Sam. It's actually making me super excited to see how this idea plays out. I like the directionality. If we put the verb early, then it's harder for wildcards, but that's not true actually. Aries.star.verifiableidentifier could be used if we were trying to say which patterns do you support or something like that. But so the only comment I have is I think I'd like to vote for readable being replaced with friendly, because I think you could read a did. It's just that it's not human friendly.
I'm being quiet so I can listen to opinions and thoughts. Well noted on friendly. I think that's a super good thing. And I think I could probably change the word and leave the explanation alone, and that would be sufficient. I struggled a lot with the code here, and honestly, for two reasons. One is that it reads nicely like this, but if I'm going to structure it to be sort of proper, it might be Aries identifier verifiable receive. If you're trying to stack the attributes in the verb further down the line. And so I struggled with that a lot. The other thing that I really struggled with was the concept of sort of ending up with a namespace. And we talked before about the difference between using just a URI for a goal code versus you know, like some sort of code that we're doing here. And I'll confess that I'm still a little conflicted in that conversation. I see advantages of both approaches, and I don't know. You'll notice that I presented this one, not a URI, but I'll confess that I'm still, you know, a little unsettled about precisely which one is maybe better there. One of the reasons is that if I receive a goal code that I've never seen before, and it's one like this, I guess I do have something that I can Google up, and which is likely to result in me finding documentation. But it doesn't have the same sort of resolvableness as a protocol type URI, which I kind of really like that feature. But I'm also trying to not URI all the things, because then someone's going to come hit us with a JSON-LD hammer.
I don't think that I had this knee-jerk reaction that we should try to stack it as a namespace, but then I backed off of it. So I actually, now that it's settling, I kind of like Aries.receive.verifiableidentifier. I think it's clear. My priority is not so much hierarchical namespace as it is that wildcards be useful. I want it to be possible to talk about multiples of these in some kind of terse syntax, which is why I want the wildcards.
Mm.
And that's kind of orthogonal from the URI thing, because you could structure this as a URI and still get the wildcard characteristic. But the way that I proposed it, Aries actually does expand to a URI anyway. So I was kind of trying to cheat and have my cake and eat it too.
Nice.
Yeah, I just had a quick question on the goal code. So I'm reading here that it might be an email address or something recognizable. So when one party requests that identifier from the other party, is the intent that it the email address or whatever it is somehow cryptographically tied to the DID, or is it more of a personal assertion?
Cryptographically tied is ideal, but this is where it gets a little bit weird because of the examples in front of us. So in the example of proof of email control, you would actually have the governance frameworks that implemented this, and I can imagine two of them here, just in our initial use case, the email ownership one would say something like, here's the schema, here are the issuers, or here's how you can identify the issuers that are capable of doing this. All the issuers agree to verify using one of these accepted methods, one of which is going to obviously be send you a link that you click on, et cetera. So the benefit is that when you get the thing, when you engage in the protocol as dictated by the governance framework, which includes like which schemas to use and the issuers, et cetera, then you get a thing and you can be fairly sure, according to how the governance framework is designed, of the properties that you're getting. In which case, we want it to be good enough that you don't then have to send the user your own link to click, because that's annoying. And so the goal is this not self-asserted, that we're trying to replace self-assertion in how we're doing this, so that the user has verified information that they're acting on when we present a screen to them. There's totally a role for self-assertion in a lot of these things, I'm hoping that this isn't one of them. In the presence of a variety of governance frameworks, it also allows for for this goal to be accomplished in any number of the governance frameworks that actually apply. So if you don't really want to verify your email address to me, for example, but you're willing to verify your social media Twitter handle, then that would be fine. And it gives you some selection on how, you know, what type of a thing you'd like to disclose to me.
Yeah, I like this a lot, because as was mentioned earlier, DIDs are kind of hard to recognize right off. The nature of my question about self-assertion was more for, you know, combating spoofing and stuff like that.
Totally. This is an exchange of something like this is actually the easiest cure for man-in-the-middle attacks. Which is one of the nice things there, is that if you pass me an identifier like this, that, you know, I can identify as like, oh, this is the email address that I've used to converse with you, or the Twitter handle, or your Instagram account, or whatever, then like this is gives me a higher level of assurance that it is in fact you, and that we haven't been man in the middle, because otherwise that would be detectable.
Okay.
So there's lots of work left to do here. The next one is both the writing of the governance framework, machine readable document, and associated human readable document, and the fleshing out of a protocol that does these things. And I hope to have more time before this meeting to make that happen. That didn't happen yet, but that's work that I have on my to-do list in front of me. So the main feedback that we picked up here is friendly instead of readable. Any other pieces of feedback?
Do we want RFCs for these things? Do you like the structure of the document in terms of having a tutorial and all that stuff? I liked your comment that knowing who's implemented a goal code is useful. I'm just wondering, it's been a long time since we've challenged the basic document structure. This is maybe the first time where what we're documenting is potentially a lot simpler than a traditional RFC.
I started from the protocol template and then deleted a lot. So you'll notice I actually took the tutorial out and I just have a reference but I include the goal code instead of the protocol type URI, and like the key concepts is still present. So I sort of made this out of that, and I figure that once we do one or two of these, maybe we'll get smarter about what actually needs to be in these.
Yeah. I guess what I'm really saying is if now's a good time to simplify the document template, great. If not, let's put a bookmark in that and revisit it, because I want it to be as lightweight as possible to define a goal code. But this feels pretty good to me right now. I'm glad you deleted some stuff.
I questioned my sanity when I got done typing and there wasn't very much. And we might discover things that we need to come back and stick in here. But my thought is that the actual goal itself shouldn't actually be that complicated. And then a little bit of the complexity is managed in the application of governance frameworks that fulfill the goal code. So yes. Okay. I will keep going then on this and continue to write and see what happens. With my next, I'm going to take an attempt at both the protocol to sort of kick this off and and a machine readable governance framework for email ownership. I'm very much struggling with this because in my brain, the easiest way to do this is just with verifiable credentials, but the governance framework controls what's going on here. Well-known DID configuration for domain control conceptually it fits precisely within what I'm proposing. The problem is it uses a different VC type mechanism. And so it's immediately making my brain stretch to accommodate within a governance framework, not just the presentation of a verifiable credential that fits in this nice template, but like something that's a little bit out there. And what I'd love to do, the governance framework talks about what protocols and how to use those protocols to underneath the governance framework. I would love it to be something as simple as a verifiable credential where I get a thing, I can verify it trivially, and then I'm done. And that's possible with the way that the well-known DID configuration is done. It does mean you have to be online though to make that happen. But I'm not sure there's a good way around that. That's some of my struggles that I'm going to try to work through as I produce that particular governance framework to see if that's going to work. So if anyone has any brilliant insights there, then I'd really love to hear them. Otherwise, I'll just take a stab and we'll see what we land at. Any other commentary on this topic? Okay, with that, we're at the end of our agenda. Are there any topics or questions or thoughts or issues that anyone wants to bring up? Or we can just be done with our call and be done a little early today.
Stephen, do you have any, is there like a chat channel somewhere that we should establish for the interopathon conversation, where we could talk about, homework or questions we have while we're prepping or things like that?
I was thinking about that. I mean, we do a couple of ideas. Probably the easiest is we just put a channel on Rocket Chat temporarily. Does that sound like the best way to go? Or even just use the Indie channel.
Yeah, that'd be fine. I'm happy using Indie too. I just want to know if there's some canonical place I can go to talk about stuff.
I think there, that's best. I hadn't planned it. We're using Kiko Chat, so in theory, I could open up the Kiko Chat and we could have discussions there. But then that's just another place. I'm thinking Indie would be best.
So there's the discussion feature inside of the Indie channel. You can create a discussion that then lives a longer discussion.
The problem with discussions is you have to be invited to them, so nobody can discover them.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, so they're good for certain things, but they're not discoverable, and therefore you have to be invited.
I rescind my comment.
Yeah, so I think Indie's the best place. Everyone, I don't think I mentioned on this, everyone does realize that it starts at 4 a.m. Pacific time.
Well, never mind then, I'm out.
7 a.m. Eastern.
You're a glutton for punishment, Stephen.
At least you put yourself at the sorry end of that particular time.
I did put myself at the sorry end. I think the only one, Kyle is still saying he's going to be there, and he's got it worse. So, but I think it certainly, hopefully makes it better.
Actually, I think it's just late in his day, not early. So.
No, but ridiculous. It's like 1 a.m. or something.
Oh.
Yeah, not good.
Yep. That's entertaining.
Yeah.
All right. That can be a wrap for this week. Thanks everyone for coming, and we'll keep making good progress. Excited, even though it's the Indie Interopathon, we're going to talk a lot about a lot of things that will end up impacting Aries. And so I'm excited to go and listen and learn and see what I can contribute.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have a pile of things in Aries that have to come through, because obviously that's where we reference all these things. So,
indeed. I hope everyone has a safe, productive, and enjoyable week. And we will see you online in next week.
All right. Take care.
See ya.